speaking of weather, the reports in the Sacramento area included the word tornado last year more than ever before, which was frightening to people in this area, but now not as rare as it used to be. In fact, the spring of 2011, I guess, was the worst tornado season for Northern California. Our guest today can help us understand the phenomenon of twisters. In fact, he's in love with them. He's Sean Casey, host of the Discovery Channel's hit show Storm Chasers and director of Tornado Alley 3D, which is now playing at the Esquire IMAX in downtown Sacramento. I saw it yesterday. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Sean, welcome to Insight.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks so much for having me here.
Really great to have you here. Arkansas this week just hit by tornadoes. So does that mean the 2012 season has begun?
Yeah, the tornado season starts in an area that's termed Dixie Alley. So those are the Gulf states, and their season starts right about now and usually goes through April.
La Nina, I'm seeing in the headlines today, too. So what does that mean to
La Nina.
Storm chaser?
Well, La Nina usually means that you're going to have an active year for tornadoes in Tornado Alley. So this could be, like last year, one of those years that, you know, you have these high potential days and you have these tornado outbreaks and you have these, you know, strong to violent tornadoes that can do, you know, terrific damage out there.
Often. I grew up in the Midwest, so the sirens and the tornadoes and straight line winds, which were actually more scary to us than tornadoes. But Northern California, five tornadoes in the entire state would be typical. Mm-hmm. And our numbers have gone up so fast. What's happening here?
Well, you know what? I have no idea what's happening up here. I imagine it was an uptick. You know, one year you had conditions that were favorable for tornadoes in areas where you normally, you know, don't have those parameters in place. Usually you need, you know, a warm body of water. For Tornado Alley, that's the Gulf of Mexico. And, of course, the water in the Pacific over here, you know, on average, what, it's 60, mid-50s
yeah,
up here?
It's
not warm. So you usually don't get that moisture-rich environment near the ground that gets sucked into a landmass and then interacts with the jet stream. That's usually a characteristic, of course, that you find in, you know, northern Texas all the way up to North Dakota.
So maybe aberration, we don't know.
Aberration, yeah, yes, yeah. I wouldn't start digging your storm shelter yet up here.
Okay, coming from you, that's a big piece of information.
Yeah. You know, if I lived in Tornado Alley, I mean, I've got kids. And if I lived in Tornado Alley, you know, I lived in the heart of Kansas, you bet I'd have a storm shelter. You know, I would dig something out in a couple of days and, yeah.
Well, your fans know you have a TIV, so you're not digging
anything. A movable storm shelter, right.
You have
yeah.
a movable tank yeah. that's going to lock you down. I'm speaking with Sean Casey, and we're going to talk now about his new IMAX film, Tornado Alley 3D. It was so fun to see it yesterday and so intense. There's a lot of weather in this movie.
Yeah, those are, of course, my favorite parts of the film is when you don't see anybody in the shot. You just see these, you know, these wonderful storm structures, you know, the beauty that exists out there. Those are the shots that I love, you know. I could just watch that all day long.
Well, we're on radio, so we're going to bring people sound so that hopefully they can grab a feel for some of the intensity for the film. So take a listen at a little clip here from Tornado Alley 3D.
11 and 12, are you coming this way?
Yeah, we are.
We're behind you.
Try to get him at 100 meters, but do the best you can. You don't have much time.
We're dropping on third pod right now.
Okay, drop it and then head south.
Large tornado visible. East of the down.
No, it's directly behind us. Coming up on the road.
Three down.
Oh, it's that intense. And you gasp, and the pictures, and to see it in 3D really brings it so close. I do have to mention the score was really beautiful. The music adds so much to your pictures.
Yeah, no, yeah, the composer, Trevor Morris, you know, he did an amazing job. And of course, he did his composition, and the LA Symphony did the recording. And so, yeah, the music and the sound effects, you know. We spent a lot of time working on the sound effects for that film. You know, there's a hail sequence in which you see these, you know, these baseball-sized, you know, hailstones, you know, exploding all around you. And you can't get that sound clean in the field. You know, you can't put out your recorder because the vehicle you're in is being pounded, and that would interfere with the clean sound that you could get of the hailstones hitting, say, the pavement. And so, you know, even for those sounds, you know, I took hundreds of water balloons and I froze them. And then I unwrapped each one of these different sized hail bombs that I created in my freezer. And then I climbed to a top of a building and started dropping them down on different surfaces so that we'd have that real effect, that real sound of what, you know, a 6-ounce piece of ice sounds like when it hits the ground.
You have just given an idea to audiophiles everywhere.
Oh, no. What to do when you go to a water balloon fight.
But at the core of this movie is you in pursuit, and this is a many-year pursuit of that ultimate shot inside a tornado.
Yeah. When I started this project, you know, I wanted to get footage that really did justice, you know, to something that I'd fallen in love with, you know, chasing tornadoes. And to do that, you know, we needed to create a platform, you know, something that we could film from to get the shots, those tornadoes right next to us and even coming directly at us and impacting us. So, you know, I decided to build a vehicle, you know, of course, you know, as any good American, you know, when you have a problem, you build a tank, right? So, you know, I built a 14,000-pound tank that could go into a tornado. You know, I didn't know how to weld. You know, I didn't have any funding for this film initially. So, you know, I had to do everything myself. And that was learning how to weld and fabricate and build these kind of monstrosities, you know, to chase down these tornadoes with.
And did I see it was still like an $80,000 project in the end that you had to fund to be able to build the TIV?
You know, the costs, we were given a vehicle for TIV 2, which is in the film. And then after we were given it, it was building back up, you know, adding about 9,000 pounds of armor, hydraulics that lower these skirts to block winds from getting underneath the vehicle, spikes that go into the ground.
Oh, it locks down into the ground.
Yeah,
amazingly.
Yeah.
And fans of your show know the TIV. I mean, it's a character, basically, as you go out and chase the storms. But to see it in the movie... The frightening thing, Sean, is I'm sitting there thinking, I know I'm interviewing him tomorrow. He must have lived. But to watch the movie and see what you're doing still made me strangely afraid for your life.
Yeah, well, anytime you have. And when we were doing this film, it wasn't like it was 100% sure we're going to be okay every time you go in a tornado.
You can't
right?
be.
No, of course not. And so when you're driving towards that tornado, when you see that tornado forming and you're trying to figure out where on the road it's going to cross and you're seeing this thing getting closer and closer and intensifying, getting stronger and stronger looking, I mean, you are having those second thoughts, you know? And those second thoughts are, you know, are that, my God, there's four people in a homemade tank going to drive into a tornado, you know? But then, you know, you've got to keep your mind... on the moment and to make sure that you get that vehicle properly deployed so that when you do get hit by that tornado, you know, you're not going to flip. And so, you know, you're putting away those bad thoughts and concentrating on what you have to do, you know, to get that vehicle deployed and to shoot the film, because the last thing you want to do is miss an opportunity where you miss the shot. You know, your IMAX camera, you know, which I have up in the turret, you know, something's wrong. It's not on. You know, in the excitement, you forget to turn it on. And that would be horrendous to miss one of those rare moments where you have such a force of nature so close.
I want to let our audience know that as you're narrating watching a tornado, you close your eyes, and I can tell that you're just somewhere else actually seeing it as you describe it.
Oh, yeah. No. There was a tornado visually coming at me right then. And actually, my palms are starting to get a little sweaty. I'm ready to go right now.
The knock on this, Sean, is that people think it's voyeuristic in almost a fatalistic or death wish kind of way. And yet in the film, you do acknowledge and make the point that all the information gathered, whether it comes from a crazy nature or not, is so helpful in giving ultimately people advance warning to save their lives.
Yeah. Of course, our first mission was to film with IMAX camera. But our secondary mission was that, you know, we had an instrument package on board. So we're kind of a movable weather station to collect data from, you know, 12 feet off the ground in front of that tornado and in that tornado. And usually we're collecting data, and there are radar trucks that are scanning above us. So it's that data that we collect in correlation with those radar scans that can provide, you know, some insight into, you know, which storms produce tornadoes and others that don't.
The damage and the scenes that you use in the film and just the scenes that we've witnessed throughout our country are so heartbreaking. And to know that lives were saved and hopefully more lives will be saved because of this makes me want to say, keep chasing, keep building TIVs, keep going, Sean.
Yeah, well, I will keep, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, and we've just, my family and I have recently moved to Sonoma. And
welcome to Northern California.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. And the house that we have has got a secondary unit that has a very large garage and has 220 power. So I've got the perfect place to build more creations.
Here it comes. Well, good luck with Tornado Alley 3D and, of course, continuing success with this show everybody loves, Storm Chasers. And to you and your family, welcome here, and I hope you find Northern California a welcome venue for a lifestyle. And
right.
All that you want to do in your professional career, too.
Oh, well, thank you so much. No, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a delight, and I've got a kick out of the fact that you were at the theater to watch your film yesterday, too.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't?
Because I'm hypercritical, and so last time I watched the film, I really, really enjoyed it, so I haven't watched it since.
Oh, good.
Right.
So, hold it right there, because we did, too.
I'm holding it.
All right. Sean Casey, thank you so much for joining us today on Insight.
No, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean. You are listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio, and coming up, Ray Manzarek and the 40th anniversary re-release of The Doors' L.A. Woman.